B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Let's welcome in the great number 36, former Eagle running back, great. Should be in the College Hall of Fame. He's lobbying for it, too. His name is Brian Westbrook. He's on the Comcast Business Highline. Bounce forward. What's up, B. West?
I'm lobbying for the College
Hall. I saw your tweet. I saw your tweet. Well, you definitely should be in the College Hall of Fame, cried out loud.
Well, as soon as I heard Romo was getting in, I'm like, hold on, time out.
Romo, I saw your tweet on that. You got to get Romo's getting in. You got to get in.
Everybody else is getting in. Come on now.
Yeah, I hear you. You need a look. I'm going to lobby for you. It's going to be my mission for the next year.
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's what friends like you are for, man. I appreciate it.
Exactly, because you deserve it. Now, you're not exactly a great guy, but your performance on the field deserves to go in. All right, listen, man, let's talk about this stuff, okay? And I don't know where you're going to go with this. I saw that presser yesterday as a complete embarrassment and very disrespectful to the Philadelphia fan base, with a lot of mumbo jumbo, a lot of filibustering, not a lot of answers. And I just think Jeffrey Lurie doesn't even know that he's doing it. I think he's just in an alternate reality. So what did you think of how he explained himself yesterday on why they made the change of Doug Peterson?
Well, I didn't like the press conference. And, there were times throughout Doug's tenure there that I wondered what the heck Doug was talking about in some of his press conferences. And then, again, I like Mr. Lurie. He's been very, very good to me. But I don't think that this was one of his better press conferences. It kind of reminded me of some of the head-scratchers that I've heard from Doug Peterson, quite honestly. I think, he could have done a much better job of explaining exactly what he's looking for. Why the reasoning? It kind of started weird to me. Just think about this. He said Doug didn't deserve to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, well, you fired him.
Yeah.
He's a great coach. He's all these good things, and maybe he's just kind of saying that so Doug can get another job. But it was confusing throughout the entire press conference. I was really confused, because the other thing that he mentioned that just kind of threw me for a loop was the vision for the team. He's looking 3-4 years, 5 years down the road, and Doug wants to win now. I do too. I thought everybody would. It was very confusing. I wasn't a big fan of the entire
process. See, that's the thing. And I'm glad you did, because I was going to take you down the steps. The first thing he said was he deserved to be let go. The second thing is that he didn't obviously think this was. He's telling you that they're going to have to rebuild, and this guy for some reason was not going to be the coach for a rebuild, even though this guy suggested that they anoint from within on his coaches, which would kind of be in line with a rebuild, right? Like, yeah, you don't go out and get major guys if you're going through a rebuild. So the whole thing was just upside down for me.
Well, you know what's weird? Now that you even mention any of that, I'm thinking you're talking about rebuild, you're talking about building this thing back up. And I know, Doug did not have a good season. I'm not trying to sit here and advocate for his job. But Doug was the one that rebuilt this thing from where Chip Kelly took this organization. Chip Kelly got rid of LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson. Doug was the guy that rebuilt this thing, obviously the guy that brought you a championship. It was just weird to hear some of the things that Mr. Lurie was saying there as far as trying to rebuild it. And most importantly, to your point, the person that's in charge of the rebuild also was a person in charge of bringing in the type of talent that we currently have on our football team, which is an issue, and that's Howie Roseman. And so, that kind of brings up even more questions.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because he didn't want to even acknowledge that bad decisions have been made. He covered that up by saying, well, our track record in the past 20 years, and look at the metrics, and highs and lows, drafting, free agent acquisition, that happens with every team, and we've been successful because we picked good talent, and the mistakes we've made, we've overcome. And it was just excuses after excuses, and nobody was Howie Roseman and his staff were not culpable at all in the mind of Jeffrey Lurie. So on one hand, he's saying the coach is culpable for where we are now, but the general manager who built the team is not culpable. What sense does that make?
Well, it doesn't make very much sense to me. And actually, not only were they not culpable, it sounds like from the interview, he was very proud of the brain trust of people that Howie has around him. I mean, he was proud and he kind of bragged upon them. He also mentioned that a couple of the guys that are now GMs in the NFL came from the Philadelphia staff and things like that. I mean, he seems very, very proud of what Howie has going on and the staff that he has assembled around him, which kind of goes opposite of what you see on the field. I mean, if you see what we see on the field is an old roster, overpaid roster that is underachieved. And who is responsible for bringing that roster together? From everything that I know and understand, it was Howie Roseman and his staff bringing in those guys, those free agents, paying those older veterans to come in. So I think the buck should stop with them, not necessarily with the coach that has to kind of cook with the groceries that Howie Roseman purchased.
He is oblivious to that man's failures. Why?
Well, I think it's very, very clear that Mr. Lurie and Howie Roseman are very, very close. I mean, it seems to me that Howie is his link to the football team. Howie being there every day, Howie understanding football to the level that he does. He's able to explain things and get Mr. Lurie the information from the team side. And he's very, very loyal to Howie because of that same situation that he had with Joe Banner at the time. He was very, very loyal to him, obviously, to the end there. But it was because of his ability to relay information from the football side to the owner. And I think that's who Howie Roseman is to Mr. Lurie, and he appreciates that. And that's why he's so loyal to him.
So Howie's able to BS him, basically.
I'll say this. There were a lot of similarities in the beginning of his speech to the one that Howie gave a week ago. You know, when Howie spoke about, when Howie and Doug spoke, the week or so ago, there were a lot of similarities in those speeches. So I mean, I would have to imagine that probably was a part of the speech that Howie gave to him as far as his job and the things that he's been able to do with this organization. And it seems like Jeffrey Lurie yesterday just regurgitated that speech and came to us with the same type of thing.
All right. He went into his draft analysis, and one of the things he said was that, well, we kind of can't help it if we identify a player and somebody three picks ahead of us takes him. How did that sit with you?
Well, yeah, that's just not true. I mean, and you can help. You can actually move up in the draft. So we understand that. And I think Mr. Lurie understands that as well. But yeah, they're, no matter what team, let's start here. No matter what team you are, you're going to miss on some draft picks. But the amount of misses that we've had over the last 4 or 5 years has been a lot, even for a team that has been close in some situations. And so they have to do a better job drafting. Again, that's Howie Roseman, his staff's job to do that. And if I was the owner, you have to evaluate the players that you have on your team and how those guys got there. Again, that falls back in line with Howie Roseman.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right. First of all, did they make the right move in firing Doug Peterson in your mind?
You know, I was on the record basically saying I thought that Doug deserved another opportunity. I felt that, you know, I mean, he was a productive coach making the NFC East, you know, winning the NFC East championship twice while there. Of course, the playoffs 3 years and the Super Bowl. I would have no problem at all bringing Doug Peterson back. But again, you have some circumstances that Mr. Lurie really didn't get into in this conversation. But I think a lot of those circumstances, mostly the quarterback coach relationship, dictated some of those decisions that he made, you know, with firing Doug. I mean, you have to think that Carson, that contract, their ability to fix Carson, and even with Carson, you know, reportedly has said that he, you know, the relationship between him and Doug is fractured, and it's fractured beyond repair, had to play in the conversation and the decision as far as Jeffrey Lurie. And here's the unfortunate part in that sense. Jeffrey Lurie stopped short of saying that Carson was going to be the starter next year. He never said that that was going to be, that Carson is going to be the guy. I think that at some point there may be, depending upon the coach that they decide on, a decision to be made of who they would like to have as a starting quarterback.
In other words, if they hire Lincoln Riley, we've talked about this, Hurts becomes the guy.
Well, yeah, they certainly know each other very well. I mean, I don't know Lincoln Riley at all, but I know that Hurts obviously has played for him, and that kind of makes sense that that would follow. It really just depends on if he feels though he can fix Carson and who gives him the better chance to run that offense in the best way. I mean, that's the big question.
All right, here's the last question I'll let you chew on here. At best, this is a very dysfunctional situation. They have bad talent. I mean, we went over the roster and we found that you would keep 20 players in this whole thing.
Yeah.
They have cap problems. They have talent problems. They have a quarterback situation. They do have the number 6 pick. The question is, what potential good coach would take this job? Is it feasible to think that a really good candidate would be interested in this job? A lot of people think they wouldn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, the candidate that you are going to be looking at is a guy that does not want to have control. So you're not looking at a veteran coach. You're probably looking at a first-time NFL head coach, a guy that won't have much say in the picking of players again. You know, that kind of worries me a little bit there. And, you know, it's probably going to be a guy coming from college or a guy that has been assistant. So it's probably going to be, again, that first-time head coach type of guy. And he's going to have to rebuild. Now, listen, Mike, we've seen teams, Miami, we've seen do it. We've seen Arizona do it, change the fortune of their entire franchise in a couple of years. It's not impossible. I can't sit here and tell you that it's impossible. It's going to take a special type of coach. It's going to take that same squad of people that have picked all the players that we have on team and handed those guys contracts. They're going to have to change their fortune and begin picking much better than they have in the recent past. And now this coach is going to have to bring this locker room together and figure out, you're going to have to figure out, what do you do with the quarterback situation? Let's say Carson Wentz is the guy. Is Carson so heartbroken to have Jalen Hurts on a team that you have to move Jalen Hurts? Or can you somehow figure out a way to get Carson Wentz to work in the same room as Jalen Hurts, or vice versa for that matter? That's something that the new head coach is going to have to figure out as well. Those are tough situations. When you look at all the other jobs, obviously, in my mind, I love Deshaun Watson, so I put the Texans job first, which you can kind of play with that a little bit because of the owner and what's going on down there. But the Chargers, big-time quarterback, young, cheap contract, and a lot of talent around him, probably is either one or two there. You know, when you look at the type of players that they have on that football team and then the type of skill that they have, I think that's important to see. But, yeah, there's a lot of different things to think about, Mike. And I don't know that the Eagles roster or their situation would be the top of the list for a lot of the coaching candidates when you look around the NFL.
Let me just this is just kind of like a barroom whimsical conversation here. But suppose they hire Bieniemy, and he's not enamored with either Wentz or Hurts. And he's got a draft, and somehow Justin Fields slides to their pick. Since they're in a rebuilding situation anyway, do you think that would entice that particular coach to go in that direction?
Gee, that's a tough question. My initial reaction is no. You got the second pick overall in Carson Wentz. You got a second round quarterback in Jalen Hurts, a young one at that, that has shown some potential. And then you go with another quarterback at the number 6 pick. My first thought would be to say no in that situation. I think that when you bring a coach in, you want to figure out what you have, and maybe if you can salvage or fix Carson Wentz, you try to figure that out. And if that doesn't work, you kind of lean towards Jalen Hurts at that point. But I don't think you pick a quarterback your first year in if you're Eric Bieniemy.
They are a quarterback.
Do you think that he would?
I can't get past the fact they're a quarterback factory, so possible. I'm being facetious here. I think it's ridiculous, and I think it's Wentz that has to come back. But we'll see. We'll see how this process goes. It was an astonishing day yesterday, and
We would have got some more answers from Mr. Lurie. He's the guy that could have given us some answers, but I also understand the dilemma he's in. I mean, you can't commit to a quarterback before you commit to a head coach. Just imagine if you're a head coach and you're saying, well, they've already committed to Carson Wentz, and I know that I don't want this guy to be the quarterback in my offense, or even Jalen Hurts for that matter. I know that this guy won't work in my offense, so I definitely can, I'm going to scratch that team off as a potential opportunity for me. You can't commit to that if you're the owner.
Yeah, but here's the thing. See, I think he thinks he did give answers, and that's the most troubling part about this, because he lives in a fantasy world, this dude. I know, you can't say. You can't say. You took a check. Well, no, he signed a check for you.
There were some things that I wish he would have answered. Some of the questions he could have answered for the organization and what he wanted, certainly could have answered some more questions about why he get rid of Doug. I mean, you know, I don't know that you come out and say that he didn't deserve to get fired after you fire a guy.
There's a different air that flows around Jeffrey Lurie's house, Brian. It's a different air than one. I kind of live fairly close, but... My air doesn't smell.
That nice neighborhood over there.
Well, not, you know, he's got a biodome where he gets clean air. Listen, man, good talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
All right, take care.
All right, there he is, Brian Westbrook.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.